Australia, right?
Yeah, yep, all the way from Australia, and won't be doctor for quite a few years, unfortunately. Oh, I'm still a lowly little undergrad who somehow got to the big ball game today. This year, I've been working in the semi-arid, dryland, wheat cropping area of southeast Australia, and I've been using whole farm economics to take a fresh perspective on the traditional practice of long fallowing. And now, straight off the bat, let's talk about cropping in a southern Australian context. Crops are generally planted early May. They grow through our winter period and then are harvested in kind of early December. And because rainfall is winter dominant, we then have a summer fallow period before planting early May the next year. In a long fallow situation, that summer fallow is extended right out across the next growing season, and crops are planted in the third year. And about even 50 years ago, almost all wheat in southeastern Australia was planted on mechanical tilled long fallows, but these days it's much less popular, and herbicides are used to give us chemical fallows. The Mallee region, which I've been working in, which, yes, you can tell from my very amateur animation, receives a semi-arid region, and wheat yield in the region is co-limited by water and nitrogen. And the funny thing about that is it just happens to be the core purpose of long fallow, to accumulate water through rainfall and nitrogen through mineralisation, as you all know. Also provides great opportunity to combat weeds and diseases. So in the semi-arid regions of southern Australia, we see that the yield of wheat grown on long fallow is higher than continuous wheat, the yield of continuous wheat production. However, there's obviously a direct cost associated with spraying out your weeds, and there's also an opportunity cost because you're only receiving income off of paddock once every 2 years. Now, in the 80s, there was a series of adapted grain, legume and canola break crops designed for the Mallee region, and these crops provided a yield boost to wheat grown after them, and they also provided a source of income. So thanks to those break crops, the popularity of long fallow declined significantly, and we also had an increase in the intensity of crop production in the region. However, despite that, farmers aren't making any more money than they were 25 years ago when you look at net profits, thanks in no small part to rising whole farm costs. And when you look at that through the lens of an environment where rainfall is decreasing and becoming increasingly variable, the next step for the Mallee shouldn't be about increasing total farm income or total farm yield, but instead about reducing those costs and providing more stable income. That's the main reason why we are turning, this study looks back to long fallowing, which is not as popular as it used to be, because the whole farm benefits really haven't been studied in small plot experiments. So that's things like timeliness of operations. If you're only sowing half your farm every year, you can sow in a much tighter window, which means that you're flowering at optimum times where you're minimising damage from frost on one side from winter and heat and drought later. You also, we can also apply unique N management and N rates to wheat that's been grown on long fallow, because if you've got extra water that's accumulated through the fallow period, you can really exploit that. And that's something that hasn't been really looked at before on these small plot experiments. There's obviously lower whole farm costs if you're only cropping half your farm every year, and there's also lower income variability. So we wanted to create a study that could incorporate all these different factors and compare long fallow wheat rotations to continuous wheat production, but also wheat break crop rotations. To do this, we used AppSim, which is an agricultural production system simulator. This is the interface that I've been looking at all year. And so we were able to model crop production on this, particularly focused on a site in the southern Mallee. on a sandy clay loam. Our hypothetical farm, we created a whole farm, was 4,000 hectares, and we used weather data from 97 to 2016. We also split the farm area evenly between crops, so it was phased, and all the economic calculations were done in 2017 Australian dollar figures, so there's the exchange rate for any of you who are interested. The three core occupations that I want to talk about today are our two continuously cropped scenarios, our continuous wheat and a chickpea wheat rotation, and also our fallow wheat rotation. As you can see, the first thing we've done is tried to quantify that timeliness of sowing benefit by sowing the fallow wheat rotation over a shorter period compared to our two continuously cropped scenarios. And you'll also see that we have unique fertiliser rates for each of our three systems. So because of mineralisation during the fallow wheat period, it didn't require N at sowing. I should say that we optimised these rates using the grain protein concentration of the wheat at the end. So the two continuously cropped scenarios required a significant input of N at sowing. And then we told the simulation that if at stem elongation, the nitrogen level of the soil declined below these threshold values, it would top it up for us. So just a quick word on the economic analysis, just so you can get your heads around that. What we actually took from APSIM was our grain protein and our yield, which we, the grain protein decided the grade of the wheat, which we put into average prices from 2011 to 2015 in the Mallee region. And then that gave us our gross income. We also took the rate of the actual amount of nitrogen applied to each of our rotations annually, turned that into a urea cost, which was added to other variable costs. Fixed costs, on the other hand, were the same for all of our rotations, no matter how much you cropped your farm. That's things like overheads, machinery operating, things like that. And that gave us our total costs. So we were now looking at cash flow as opposed to gross margins. Most previous studies had looked at really simplistic inputs versus profits, so they were only giving us gross margins, but instead we were able to calculate cash flow and then accumulated cash flow. So what you can see here is something that was even surprising to us. We were kind of expecting the fallow wheat rotation to maintain similar profit margins to the continuous wheat production, but it actually outperformed both of the continuously cropped scenarios. And the main reason for that is if you look at about from between year 5 and to about year 11 or 12, in Australia we had this thing called the Millennium Drought, and basically more of the land you had cropped in this situation, the more money you lost. And whereas the fallow wheat rotation, firstly because of its lower costs, and also because in dry seasons it had extra water accumulated in the fallow, it was able to return rather steady profits throughout that time. And that steadiness is reflected in this table, especially in the right-hand column, where you see, despite the fact that it had the highest average cash flow, the fallow wheat rotation also had the lowest standard deviation of cash flow, which meant it was the least variable. So the thing to take out of this table is, if we're looking in the blue, fallow wheat rotation had the lowest average costs, so therefore farmers are taking on less risk using this system. The highest average cash flow, so it was the most profitable, and the lowest standard deviation of cash flow, which meant it was the least variable. So being that so decisive as it was, we wanted to look at why. And the main reason for this is, if you're looking at the we're only cropping half the area in the fallow wheat rotation compared to the wheat, except we're getting rather comparable whole farm yields. So that basically, if you look in the right hand column here, we're seeing a yield benefit of 1.5 tonnes per hectare. So that's saying that wheat grown on long fallow is yielding 1.5 tonnes higher, not quite but almost double, wheat grown in continuous fashion. That is On the high end of what we see in the Mallee region, the average is generally considered to be about 1 tonne per hectare. So it goes to show that including the, or in previous studies, not including the whole farm benefits of long fallowing has really maybe underestimated its potential to improve whole farm yields. And just a final note, crop prices don't remain static. It's also important to note that in 12 months ago, the chickpea prices were right off the scale. So here we've got the most profitable rotation between the fallow wheat and the chickpea wheat for given wheat prices down the left-hand side and chickpea prices across the top. And what to note here is at low commodity prices, particularly when the price of wheat is high, the fallow wheat rotation performs really well. But when the price of chickpea rises generally above that $800 Australian dollar mark, the opportunity cost of not planting chickpeas and opting for the fallow becomes too high, and you miss out on that really profitable break crop. So in conclusion, we determined that long fallow, despite its declining popularity in the Mallee region, is actually still an economically viable rotation. It reduces income variability and is therefore more appealing to our risk-averse producers. The benefits, or the economic benefits of long fallow, are made up firstly from its lower costs and also the high yield increase that it offers to subsequent wheat crops, and that the value of our rotations is dependent on commodity prices. So I'd just like to thank James, my supervisor, and Bill Malcolm from the University of Melbourne. He was the economics head behind all this. And finally, to the GRDC in Australia for project support, and also for sending me all the way to Tampa. Thank you very much. We've got time for questions, John. Yep.
Now we're seeing herbicide resistant weeds, and it's becoming very expensive to manage fallow. So how does it fare in Australia?
So long fallows and herbicide resistant weeds in Australia, particularly compared to our continuously wheat crop scenario, long fallows can actually help with herbicide resistant weeds, because if you're not growing anything, you can pull out all the stops when it comes to, so you can have a double knock with broad spectrum herbicides. And there's also the option for strategic tillage if need be too. So we've tended to find that long fallows can actually help in the control of herbicide resistant weeds, because it reduces the reliance on one or two groups of herbicides. So, yeah, I can.
Yeah, just a follow up. So, are you looking at comparing no-till, three no-till system, and then conventional?
Yeah, I should have probably emphasised that a bit more. In southern Australia, we've definitely moved away from conventional tillage and in the recent decades. So. Almost all farmers are using no-till and minimum-till systems. So the tillage is more of a tool that you can use for a number of different reasons, but we certainly don't see it at the rates that you see in some systems here in the States.
Did you look at soil characteristics other than nitrogen?
It was mainly focusing on nitrogen and plant-available water. But that was they were the main ones. Is there anything that you think of?